Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page podcast. I'm librarian Stacy Mencher, and I'm very, very excited to talk with our next guest.
Hey, Stacy, thanks so much for having me on. I'm Mae Cobb, author of The Hunting Wives.
Welcome to our podcast. I am so excited for this book. So, fun fact, listeners, today is the 19th, May 19th. This book was published yesterday, and everyone cannot stop talking about it. So thank you for writing such an awesome book. And this is not your first book. This is your second book?
Yes, it is. Ooh. Thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome. I just, as I'm was like looking stuff up, like reading it, just all the, you have amazing blurbs from other authors that we love here at the library, like Riley Sager, Samantha Downing, like everyone loves it. And just everybody promoting the book, I can't get over it. So you're also an April pick for Book of the Month Club, and their blurb, better than bourbon and biscuits, this sizzling story stars Southern Belles on the hunt in more ways than one. And I'm just like, that tagline alone would get me, aside from the summary of the book.
I love that tagline. That was so clever, and I love Book of the Month Club. It was so nice for them to make it a selection, and the generous authors who gave me blurbs and gave me blurbs early. I was really so blown away by their support.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you blurb for other books? Or
I do. I've only recently been asked to, so it's such a new phenomenon, but I try to say yes to as many as I can possibly do, and and say no to the ones that I really want to read, but I know I won't get to, because it's time and pandemic and child rearing. And it's crazy. I want to read all the books. I love reading. I wish I could read all day long.
I totally understand, especially with what you just said. So, because normally I try to read, because Goodreads has a challenge every year and I try to do it. And the past 2 years, I've just been like, no.
Yeah.
But it's mainly because I have a young child at home.
Yeah. So it's a struggle.
Been hard. Someone, because I'm a reader services librarian, so usually it's just like, what do you recommend I read? And I'll give them stuff, and they're like, what's the last great book you read recently that you loved? And I'm like, Good Night Moon. And they're like, what? I was like, I have a baby. I'm reading children's books.
Sorry, that cracks me up. I could repeat every line of that book and act out the scenes and everything. That's so funny.
that's life. So in this book, I really love the character you created of Sophie. And I know other readers, because I read other people's reviews, because if I really like a book, I'll stalk the reviews and be like, all these people agree with me. That for listeners in the book, you're introduced to Sophie, who moves from Chicago to a small town in Texas and leaves her glamorous life. She works a great job, to be a stay-at-home mom, pretty much, and kind of doesn't always love it. And I think a lot of people, to me, I could really feel for that, because I'm a mother and I love my child, but sometimes I'm just I need a break. And that's why I'm like, I love coming to work, aside from work being great. And not a lot of writers will address that. So what made you want to address that?
I definitely wanted to sort of take a closer look at how happy women are supposed to be in today's society, and how I was just chatting with someone else, and they said that our lives are so curated on social media, and we only see the good stuff about people. And I feel like, while yes, being a mother is wonderful, I'm a mother as well, raising a young child can also be monotonous, especially during the pandemic time. When you're on day 30 of doing the same thing over and over, whether it's reading Goodnight Moon for the 80,000th time or whatever. It's sometimes women crave more. And I feel like that hadn't been really addressed or even acknowledged or admitted to. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the, sort of the current mom shaming culture. It's like, you can't just admit that maybe you're over it for that day and you want to just get in the tub and shut the door and read a book and maybe drink a bottle of wine. I don't know, but I really felt for Sophie's predicament, that she thinks she's going to this sort of fantasy land of picnics in the field and snapping pictures for her Instagram about what tea she's made that morning and how nice it'll be. And then it's just way too oppressively quiet. And she's bored out of her skull with having left her career behind. And now she is a full-time mom and kind of blogging on the side, but not really. She's kind of half-heartedly doing it. So I think there's, I would hope that a lot of women would relate to sort of like modern motherhood restlessness and also external pressure to be happy because you have a career, you have a kid, you have it all. And why aren't you happy?
It's true. I think it's great that you address this because so few people kind of do. It's popping up a bit more in a few books that I've noticed as I've been reading, but I'm just like, yeah, like motherhood's great. But sometimes I'm like, I need a break. And yeah, it's just, especially as they get older and they're going to, you know, tantrum at you. Yes. And want to fight you on stuff. I say that knowing my son will fight me of going outside on the grass because he hates it. But I understand because I'm an inside person too. it's funny. So in the book, listeners, because I'm trying not to spoil things, Sophie moves to this town and, you know, gets a little bored and meets Margot, who's this lovely socialite, seemingly lovely socialite. Of the Hunting Wives, which is the title of the book. And they're a crazy bunch. And part of me is like, would I know I wouldn't do everything that Sophie's done and the group has done. First of all, because I'd probably be terrified to go out in the middle of the night and go shooting in the woods.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting to kind of see that. How did that come to be?
I did sort of write it as an escape from reality in a way for myself. My son was, I think he was about 5 then. And so there was not a lot of ladies' nights or going out, you know, anymore. So I thought, well, let me just sort of go on this joyride that goes terribly wrong with these crazy women. And I'm not a big plotter, so I didn't plot a lot of it out. So a lot of it was just showing up and hanging out with them and seeing what sort of crazy stuff they would say or do and boundaries they would push. And that became a lot of, you know, it was kind of a blast to write. And I had to follow these dark, twisty women and their misdeeds.
And so listeners, as she gets with this rowdy bunch in a way, a murder mystery, like this twist gets thrown in, and I didn't see the ending coming. So guys, it's a good, like, if you want to kind of be like, what, good book to read. I totally recommend it. But what was interesting, because I saw on your Instagram that I guess your publisher made the little blurb of the, like, hello, my name is name tag with meet the hunting wife. And as I'm reading that, I love that. You should check out her Instagram and see this, because it's so entertaining that the handwriting or like the font is different for each person and all their, so it's their name, their likes, their dislikes, and their shooting skill. And it was very entertaining to read through that. But I thought it was interesting because this is not a spoiler, everyone, that so Sophie kind of becomes obsessed with Margot, but one of Margot's best friends also is obsessed with her. And it even says, like, you know, she gets a little single white female. And I love that that was thrown in, because that's a movie that my friends and I reference.
Oh yeah, right? It's the best.
I'm just like, ooh, when I first saw that, I was like, how is this gonna, is it gonna be like a battle between the two of them of like, And it just, everything was so really interesting. I really don't want to spoil anything for the book for people who haven't read it, because it's a great book. And thrillers are really popular now, especially at our library. Like, they just, everyone wants to use that as an escape with pandemic life, I've noticed. If it's not a thriller, it's something like that. That's like a pretty popular genre, like compared to fantasy, which a few people have been getting into because of pandemic life. Has the pandemic affected anything with the release or writing it or anything?
It was written well before the pandemic, thank goodness. And it hasn't affected the release too much as far as I can tell, other than I really miss doing in-store book events and events at libraries. So that's kind of a bummer, but then I get to do things like this and then Zooms with authors and people get to come from all over. And I've also like been able to attend things I would never get to attend. So it's sort of a catch 22.
Yeah.
I definitely miss being in person though. But I'm really glad that the book was released for summer, because I do feel like it's a summer book, and I'm glad it wasn't released during the Trump regime. because people were so distracted then, I think it was even more hard to focus on reading. And
that's true.
Yeah, because it was constant, like, what's going to happen today in America?
So I have to say, this book, reading it, reminds me a little bit of a sort of another new book, The Wife Upstairs by Rachel Hawkins. Well, I don't know if you've read it.
I haven't yet. It's in my TBR. I cannot wait to read that book.
So I listened to the audio of that, and it reminds me of it because it doesn't take place in Texas, but it takes place in like a wealthy suburb in South
Atlanta,
Carolina.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. South, we're at like somewhere in the South.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, you have this main character who like gets involved with the wealthy women that gossip and get together. And she even says like, okay, like I'm on this garden committee, like, oh my God, like this is so boring. Like I can't. And it's interesting to kind of, you then see, you know, like behind the scenes of some of the relationships, which you do in your book, like not everyone is who they seem to be.
Yeah.
But it also, because I wrote down wealthy women who gossip and drink, friendship feuds.
That's great.
But it also reminded me of the TV series, very short-lived, BCB, which I want to say was on ABC, but it's Good Christian Bells, but it also could be Good Christian, a word that rhymes with witch.
Yeah.
That I will not say on the podcast. And it reminded me of that because it's about a woman who is going back to her hometown after it's different because Sophie didn't like suffer a cheating husband that died with his mistress and was embezzling like the main character on the show, but she goes back to her Texas hometown and has to kind of deal with being in this, like, you know, kind of almost a newcomer again to this wealthy women who, you know, seem so nice and aren't, and all have an agenda of their own. And I was just,
yes,
like this is, it just makes me want to go to Texas, and I've never been, to be like, oh my God, is this like, is this real? Like, is this what people do?
It is real, which is insane to say. It's on the spectrum of real, I would say. There's definitely hunting wives out there, I feel like, especially because I based it in my hometown, which I fictionalized for the novel, but these women, they're like composites of some women up there. It's funny because I remember some early notes. It's like, do women really drink this much? And I'm like, well, they do in my town. I don't know if that's normal, but yes, they do. I'm not even exaggerating it for a second.
But again, because what I liked about it, and I've seen that you've said in like other interviews, is that, you know, I feel like a lot of people, when they're doing the wealthy suburban like women clique, it is something like, you know, like a garden committee, like very demure and stuff like that. And you're like, they're the hunting wives, they shoot. And that's typically a male association.
Yeah.
And yeah. What inspired that?
It really came from a story my mom told me. I was up there visiting her and we were driving the backcountry roads. And she started talking about when she was in high school there in the 60s and how there was something called the hunting party. And it was these rich, popular guys, and they would basically go out into the woods on the weekend and sit on the hoods of their car and shoot at small animals and, you know, invite people out to drink and stuff. And I thought that could go so very wrong, like 1,000 different ways so quickly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sort of set it in modern times. And then very quickly I decided, it must be all female. I really loved that novel by Ruth Ware, In a Dark, Dark Wood.
Okay.
And so that was a huge inspiration in terms of having this sort of contained group of women and doing a deep dive into toxic female friendships. And I thought, it's so interesting because, growing up in East Texas and in Texas in general, men do often go away for the weekends to go hunting. Okay. And I thought, well, how fun is that to turn the tables? And what did those men really do when they went away? Like, were they really just, shooting quail, or what were they doing? And so I thought, well, women are going to get up to even worse stuff. So let's bring it on.
I really like, so it's interesting because normally with like a good kind of twisted thriller, I'm usually the one to tell my coworker, Jessica, we both really like thrillers, and I'll usually come across one either I see the cover and it just looks interesting, or I read the summary somewhere, or I get an advanced reader's copy and I'll be like, oh my god, you got to read this, like it's messed up but good. And I was so pleased that she was the one who brought your book to me.
Oh, wow.
she's like oh my god, this is no, like you normally do this, I like you need to read this. And I was just like, okay, because just the name got me. I was like, the hunting one. I was like, what is this? And then I saw the cover. I love the cover. It's very photogenic. And I love their bookstagram posts that people have done with them.
It's been amazing. I'm just astounded by their creativity. I'm like, wow, that is so, and the cover, I'm so grateful to Berkeley for that cover. It really is. I'm so happy with it. It so fits with the novel, and it really does. It kind of jumps out at you. And I love it. It just has a very like foreboding, but also kind of fun vibe about it.
Did you come up with the design, or they did it and brought it to you?
No, like if you ever saw my handwriting, you would be like, yeah, she definitely legit can't design anything. And so she needs to stick to the keyboard and only Word documents. No, they brought me a couple of different designs, and that ultimately was the one that everyone really rallied behind. And I'm just so glad. And I'm so glad you liked it. And I'm so glad that you liked the title too. Thank you.
Yeah. I saw there was a contest that you had with another author of like winning. I forgot what the prize was, but I just kept seeing like the book with a bunch of lipsticks, because like the cover, and all I could, someone put, there was two photos I saw. One was with Kat Von D lipsticks, and I recognize the tube of it just because I have a bunch of them. But then I saw someone did it with the MAC lipsticks, and I was like, amazing, because it's the MAC bullet lipstick. And oh my god, hunting wife, shooting, there's bullet on the cover, there's lipstick, oh my god, kismet.
I did not even think about the MAC bullet lips. That's so true.
This is how crazy I am.
No, I love it. And I think you're talking about, and I have to give a shout out to this author, because I think you're probably talking about the giveaway with The Girls Are Also Nice Here.
Yes. Yeah.
By Lori Elizabeth Flint. Have you read that yet?
No, that's on my to be read pile.
Oh my God. It's going to knock you down. It mowed me down. I'm still totally in awe of it and obsessed with
awesome.
It. It is so dark and twisty, and she just, it's so brilliant. I can't wait to hear what you think.
Oh, that's awesome. Cause it's then another good, like read alike comparison, like, you know, you liked your book. Here's another good book. If you want something in a, dark, twisty mood that
Yeah, they're very similar in that way. If I can put myself in her company, we've become great friends, but her book rocks. And it's kind of like her girls are like kissing cousins to my wives. They're very, very, they're very dark, and you will never forget them.
So I've seen a lot of reviewers say that the Hunting Wives, the women, are like if grown-up Mean Girls. And I could see that, but I'm also wondering, because I know you mentioned that you like the movie Heathers, that to me it would be like the grown-up Heathers.
I think so. Mean Girls. Thank you. Yeah, I think so. Heathers just lives in my heart, my dark heart. Like that's so my movie. And they were definitely rattling around in my brain, their cattiness, as I was writing The Hunting Wives, for sure. Oh, nice. I mean, it has the best lines in that movie. Like, who came up with that?
It's so quotable.
It is. And I don't think we can do any of the quotes here, but it's so great.
Because as I'm reading it, and then I was talking with Jessica, and I was just like, no, like, pretty much, like, Margo's like Heather Chandler. And I was like, yes. I think she's the one with the red scrunchie.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I was like, I could definitely still, I was like, yes.
That's so funny. I love it.
Also, it's a great movie. And yeah, I say that so knowing great. That one Halloween I dressed up as Heathers. No one else dressed up as Heathers with me, but I was like, I've got the plaid skirt, the blazer, I'm ready. I've got a scrunchie that matches.
Oh my God. I love that. I love it. Oh my God. I'm going to have to find you on Instagram, and you're going to have to dig up a photo and post it.
I'm going to have brilliant. To find the photo because a friend of mine who also loves 80s stuff. We'll just talk about 80s movies and music. She had the Halloween party, and I remember going, and someone was like, "What are you dressed as?" And I was like, I just like had a dead face of like, really? Never seen this movie.
You're like, did you have a brain tumor for breakfast?
Yeah.
Isn't that what she says?
I was like, rent the movie from the library or buy it for yourself.
Yes. Thank me later. Rent it and thank me later.
But speaking of movies, I know Garen Deeds Reads, a really popular Instagram, did a dream casting of who he would do for your book. And do you agree with it? Do you have different people in mind for some of the characters?
I was so moved that he did that. And I really feel like he hit it out of the park with that one. And it was so cool because he cast Leighton Meester as Sophie, and that was before he knew that she endorsed it for Book of the Month Club. So he was like,
oh, wow.
I have to post now because that's so crazy. And she would make such a great Sophie, I think. And yeah. I love the rest of his casting too. He's always spot on. I'm just in awe.
I know. Yeah. I've seen his other posts for stuff, and I was like, I didn't think that, but that's even better.
I know.
At work, we typically, if a lot of us have read a book, we'll talk about who we think. Yeah. Like if it was a movie or TV show, who would be the great cast?
Yes.
So it's always fun to play around with that.
It is. I love doing that too.
I'm glad to know we're not alone.
Mm-mm.
But I was like, I have my giant list to go back to with this. So the book was released yesterday. And is it just hardcover? Is there an audio?
Yeah, it's out now in hardcover as well as audio, which sounds terrific. I got to listen to a sample. I haven't gotten to enjoy the whole thing yet. And
it's exciting.
Ebook as well. And it also came out in the UK, I believe, in ebook and paperback over there. But yeah, here it's hardback and it's available at all the places, but especially libraries and indie bookstores.
Yes, for listeners of the podcast, because we're still in pandemic times, if you don't want to go to your library because you still want to be home, that's totally cool. You could buy the book off, it's bookshop.org, I think is
yeah.
the one.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel horrible because I feel like I butcher it every time. And no, I look no, at that website it. Like every week too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But you could get the book. I'm excited though, because now I'm probably going to want to like reread the book by listening to the audio, just because I like audiobooks a lot.
Yay.
I'm excited to know that it's available as an audio.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to listen to the whole thing too. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you so much for coming to talk about your book and writing. Is there anything that you're reading now or would recommend?
I'm reading Dial A for Aunties by Jesse Sutanto, and I love it.
Oh, nice. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, May, for talking about your book. We'd love to have you back for any and all of your future books, and especially once you could come to when everything's more calmed down from pandemic life. We'd love to have you come visit in person.
I will. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, thank you.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.
No problem. So once again, we're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page, and that's pretty much it. That's the ending of our podcast closeout.